So, let's go back to Philippians and chapter number 4. We're going to look at a very important section of Philippians chapter 4. I'm sure I would like to borrow a Bible. Maybe you should find a place for it before you go. Every chapter I've read in Philippians, I think at one point during the chapter I've said this is a fundamental part of the Bible to understand. Like Philippians 1 was for me to love Christ and to die again. And then in Philippians 2, that fundamental, very important key passage that needs to be understood by every Christian is that this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then went into Philippians 3, and again I said, there's a fundamental, important passage of scripture to understand in the life of the believer, and that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. Well, today's passage from verse number 8 is another one of these fundamental passages that you need to get to grips with and really get into your life if you're going to be fundamentally pleasing to the Lord. So we're going to read from verse number 2, first of all. And we'll read from verse number 4. Let's start at verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, that was forbearance, yieldedness, kindness, be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Remember what we replaced that word careful with another word last week. Remember what it was? Be anxious for nothing. I mean, it's good for us to be careful. It would be a bad state of affairs if Christians were careless people now, wouldn't it? So it's important to be careful, but the word really carries with it the idea of taking anxious thoughts about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now notice two things. Notice what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God shall keep your church, which passeth all understanding. But in verse 9, it doesn't say the peace of God, it says the God of peace. So instead of just being given some sort of impersonal characteristic of assurance, the peace of God is really his personal presence with you, the God of peace with you. First thing. We'll just read the next session. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but you lack opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Again, I won't insult your intelligence by asking you to bring from your mind the chapter headings. But chapter number 4 is leaning on Christ. Chapter 1, loving Christ, learning Christ, looking for Christ. And chapter number 4 now, leaning on Christ. We're following the theme through the chapter of our mind. Remember, the importance of the mind. And at the beginning of the chapter, that the exhortation, the encouragement from the Paul is to all be of the same mind. And this particular same mind is not just be thinking the same things generally. It's when we have a disagreement one with another. It's how to solve a disagreement. It's not good that we should be at variance with each other. It's not good that there should be difficulties amongst brothers and sisters. And if there is, the exhortation is to be of the same mind. And Paul talks about Eurias and Syntyche and people helping them. Last week we looked at this idea of having a settled mind. An anxious mind is a mind that's like a cork bobbing up and down in the waves. And what we were thinking about was how to have a settled mind before the Lord. How to calm our fears and dismiss our anxieties. Today we're going to look at this section that talks about having a sound mind. Now this idea of having a sound mind, the word sound doesn't appear in this passage, but it appears in other places, and it's talking about having a healthy mind. How to keep our mind healthy. How to keep our mind fresh and real and spiritual. And we'll look at the way we do that. And what I'm going to suggest to you is we need to not be distracted when it comes to our mind. We've got to guard our mind. Number four, the little section that we'll look at maybe today, but certainly next week, is have a sacrificial mind. Think about other people. And Paul says, well, you've been thinking about me, and you've not just thought about me once, you've thought about me more than once, and you've been sacrificing and when you've been thinking about me. You know, it's one thing to say to somebody, I'm thinking about you, or I'm praying for you. And that's lovely. But when you actually do something for that person, pray with them or go to them or something like that, make a sacrifice on your behalf, Paul says, listen, don't doubt that I appreciate what you've done for me. And don't doubt that when you sacrifice for the work of the Lord, really what you're doing is you're laying up treasure in heaven. It's fruit that's for your account. It's eternal benefit that's in mind. Fifth little section right at the end is have a saluting mind. He says, salute every saint which is in Christ Jesus. Don't discriminate. Have a heart and a mind that's big enough for every believer. So last week, just to recall, remember, we looked at having a settled mind if we were anxious. And we said there was three ingredients that we needed for a settled mind. The first one was to rejoice. The next one was to be moderate, to be yielded. And the third was to pray. We looked at rejoicing and we said that, you know, what he's telling us to do is not just be happy, because people, the world revolves around being happy. What keeps you happy? Do what makes you happy. What about your happiness? Well, rejoicing is not the same thing. Rejoicing is having a joy in the Lord despite the difficulties of your circumstances. And he's writing from jail, so he talks about rejoicing, something that we must presently do, we must actively do, we must always be doing. Rejoice and keep on rejoicing in the Lord. And that was the reason, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's where we find our strength in times of weakness and anxiety. So there was rejoicing, and then there was this idea of moderation, yieldedness, kindness, thinking of others. You know, if we always want our own way, that's going to make us anxious, isn't it? You know, if we don't get our own way, we're going to be anxious about that. We're always wanting our own way. If we don't get our own way, we'll always be manipulating to get our own way, and we'll become really anxious. And remember the story of the two mountain goats. One that lay down and let the other one walk right over the top of it, and in doing that, both were preserved. There's times, you know, when we just have to lie down and let other people have their way for the sake of peace and calmness. And then the third thing he said was to pray. Pray was the general word. The three words were supplication, thanksgiving, and request. And we said that each of these words have a reflection on God's character. When we pray, we're praying according to God's character. So, supplication means that we're trusting in God's mercy. Thanksgiving says we're recognizing God's goodness. And request says we're trusting in God's grace. It's a thing, I think, folks, that we really need to get to grips with. The fundamental of the Christian life is to get to know what God's like, to get to know God. And we all have our own little compartment of what we think God's like. But God is more than just love, for example. God is holy, and God is just. And there's a great book, not great in every part, but great in a lot of parts, And I would recommend it to you. It's called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And Jim Packer has really gone haywire just recently in some of the things he's been written. But he wrote this book a long time ago called Knowing God. And it has a chapter on all the characteristics of God. And really, I was a student when I read it. And it was a great help to me to get to know what God's character is like. Because when we pray, we're praying according to God's character. We're casting ourselves onto God's character. It's like yesterday, I was speaking to a young girl who claimed to be a pagan. And she said, you know, what does God think about pagans? And I said, well, God's angry with pagans. And she said, well, somebody told me God loves everybody. And I said, well, that's right. But God can love and be angry at the same time, can he? I mean, I use the illustration, like David's my son, I always my love my son, but if he breaks the rules in the house, his dad can be angry with him, because he's broken the rules. It's not that I don't love him, it's just that he's transgressed, so you can, that character of God's anger against sin and God's love towards the sinner, are not incompatible. And we need to get to know God. We must not just see God in one particular light, we must, through his word, get to know God. And that's what the prayer is all about. And then we thought about, you know, our mind being kept, a settled mind. The peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. And we wrote to the word, keep, it's like a garrison around you, a wall of protection. And Kelly's illustration was the bodyguard that, you know, stands guard between you and the danger. And the peace of God, it says this, which passes all understanding. Now that would be true for unbelievers, because it's often when believers go through difficulties that that's when your testimony shines the best. Because unbelievers look at you and they say, how can you do that? How can you be like that in these circumstances? And you can say, it's the peace of God. And they say, well, we don't understand it. Well, that's right, of course you don't understand it. Of course you don't understand it. But I don't think it's just the peace of God which passes all understanding to unbelievers. I think it's the peace of God which sometimes passes our understanding as well. Because it's when we're in real difficulties that the Lord gives us a peace that we, and a strength that we never imagined we could have if we were given those circumstances ourselves. And God gives us that when we go through the circumstances. He doesn't give us it in a big installment at the beginning of our life to use up in the rest of our life. He gives us it when we need it. It's like that. It's like an allowance given to a kid. I don't give David his yearly allowance at the beginning of the year, because I know what he'll go and do. He'll go and blow it all. And before you know what it is, he'll be back saying, Dad, can I have more money? So if God gave us everything that we needed right away, he would blow it all. So what he does is, he gives us what we need when we need it. So when we need the peace that passes all understanding, he'll give it to us. When we need the strength to endure hard circumstances, he'll give it to us. When we need the grace, he'll give it to us. And it's something that surpasses our understanding, isn't it? Our natural understanding. A great example we thought about was, remember H.C. Spafford, who had that tremendous difficulty and wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when troubles like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, I mean that's really Philippians 4, isn't it, later on, whatever state I am, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. He's taught to know, you're absolutely right. That's a good point upon that. Sometimes we say, he has taught me to say it is well with my soul, but Spafford wrote, taught me to know it is well with my soul. Because it's easy to say something that's not real, isn't it? I could say to you, I'm really settled in it and at peace, and I would be as anxious as anyone said, but he said, I was talking to my friends before that earlier. So, we're now in this section from chapter number 4, verse 8. These two verses about having a sound mind. Keeping your mind clear, keeping your mind healthy, keeping your mind sound. How do we keep our mind sound and healthy? That's three Christians. I don't know them, but they're three Christians that are enjoying a Christian life. Because the... I don't laugh at Alan. I spent a long time looking for that photograph. Here, Beatrice, we are what we think. Our mind is the seat of our personality. It's the seat of our character. And the book of the Proverbs says this, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The mind is the big area that we've got. We must keep our bodies healthy, yeah, we must. But in the Christian life, the mind is a very big area that we've got to keep healthy. And it's the area that the devil attacks absolutely all the time. Because he knows that if he can get our mind on unhealthy things, our spiritual life will be unhealthy. But if we can keep our mind on healthy things, that's what will happen. We'll be healthy spiritually. There's lots of things, passages in the Bible. Here's a word that says this. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So God wants us to have a sound mind, keep our mind healthy, keep our mind, There's a thing, you know, the word sound means healthy. That's what it means healthy. And have you ever heard this expression? You are what you eat. If you want to be healthy physically, there's lots of factors. One of them is exercise, but a big factor in what you are is you are what you eat. If you eat healthily, you'll be healthy. If you eat a bit like me, unhealthily, you'll be unhealthy. But you are what you eat. What you take in is the building blocks for your body, isn't it? And if you take in good things, you'll have good building blocks. If you pick in rubbish, you won't be healthy. And so as with our mind, folks, we're going to look at these passages, and we're going to look at what our mind's diet should be in a little minute. But the point I want to make is this. We must have a healthy diet for our mind. If we've got a healthy diet for our mind, it'll keep us in our character and our life and our behaviour. Look at these things. We looked at that verse. These are other things that God talks about being healthy. For the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. So it's important that we keep in a place where we get healthy teaching. It's important that we keep in a place where we get healthy things in our mind, and it's very important that when it comes to scriptural things, that we're getting healthy teaching. Because if you get bad teaching, what's going to happen? You're going to have bad Christian practice. And you can see widespread in Christian circles how that people that get bad teaching and don't check it against their Bible, they just take in bad teaching and end up doing all sorts of outrageous things in the name of Christianity. So we must be careful to maintain sound doctrine. Aged men, that had no reference to me, must be sober, grave, sound in faith, healthy in faith. What does that mean, to be healthy in faith? It means, don't just keep this matter of faith for a compartment of your life. Faith is life. Isn't that right? It's that for we walk by faith, and not by sight. Faith is what we are. We must have a sound faith, a healthy faith. Here's another thing that we've got to keep healthy. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. And if we want to keep a healthy speech and a healthy doctrine, we've got to watch what comes into our mind. One of the great dangers I face, folks, I'll be quite honest with you, when you work in the prison and you work on the streets, you hear a lot of unsound, unhealthy speech. You hear a lot of language that's very, very vile, and it goes in all the time. And matter of fact, it goes in so much that at times you don't even notice it. And before you know where you are, you're starting to think these words that you hear other people using. And you know, so we must be careful to be sound speech. We must have healthy speech. So, here's the thing. How do we get a sound mind? Who knows what R-I-R-O means? Riro. What does a RIRO mean? It's a... It's a computer term. It means this. If you put rubbish into a computer, you want to get out the other side? Rubbish out the other side. A computer's only as good as its input. The input determines its output. So if you put rubbish into a computer, you don't get good stuff out, you get rubbish out of the computer. And so it is with our mind, folks. If we put rubbish in, do you know what comes out of our mind? Rubbish comes out of our mind. If we're not concentrating on good things, if we're putting rubbish into our mind, it'll be rubbish that'll come out of our mind, and it'll be rubbish that'll come out of our mouth, and it'll be rubbish that'll come out of our life. So here we get to verse number 8, Paul says this, listen, what I want you to do is this. I'm going to give you a diet for your mind. Here's your diet sheet for your mind. How you can keep a healthy mind. And he says, whatsoever things are true. That means unconcealed, not fictitious. Feed your mind on things that are true, not fantasy. Now we live in a world, folks, where predominantly the media, entertainment, is obsessed with things that are fantasy, fictitious. We live in a false world, don't we? People escape into fantasy and fiction. And so what happens is, people live in this fictitious world in their mind, and so when it comes to real life, they live out things that are not real in their life. They just live out things that are not true. And the Paul says, listen, to have a healthy mind, you must not dwell on fantasy, fictitious things. You must dwell on the things that are real and the things that are true. But what are the things that are real and the things that are true? Well, you know what they are, don't you? The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen, they are eternal. The real true things are the things of God and eternity. Not the things of the world at all. The world is full of image, fantasy and fiction. The true things, the real things, are God's things and eternal things. She says, whatsoever things are true, think of these things. Now folks, think this week. How much fiction and fantasy has been poured into your mind this week? How much unreal stuff has been poured into your mind? And he says this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. That means serious, noble, transparent, without deceit. So we must fix our minds on things that are honest, without deceit and without deception, without another side to them that's a bit sinister. So we must always think on things that are true and honest. Next one is this. Righteous. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. The word is just. Whatsoever things are righteous and with a right rule. Now what is righteousness? Righteousness is the character of God, isn't it? It's morality. It's God's morals that are righteous. It's God's character that is righteous. And so what we do is, we live in a world that's totally unrighteous, don't we? A world that's partial, it's unrighteous, it's immoral. And if we take those things in, do you know what's going to come out in our life? Unrighteousness. So Paul says, listen, think of things that are true, think of things that are honest, think of things that are righteous. And so if we do think about things that are true and honest and righteous, do you know what we'll do in our life? We'll be true and we'll be honest and we'll be righteous in our life. We won't be dubious, we won't be deceptive, we won't be concealed. We'll be true and we'll be honest and we'll be righteous in our life if we think on these things. Here's next. Pure. It means holy and without defilement. Holy and without defilement. Now, pure doesn't mean 90% pure and 10% rubbish. It means 100% pure. So things like this, folks, we can't say as Christians, well, it was only dubious. Most of it was okay. Most of it was okay. You know, we say that, don't we? Read something, we watch something, and we say, you know, most of it was okay, but there was one or two dubious bits in it. And we sort of excuse the one or two dubious bits with the fact that the rest of it was okay. Paul says, no, can't do that. Defilement means to make. If you're walking on a muddy field, you pick up mud in your boots, don't you? You pick up defilement. So if we watch things or listen to things or involved in things that have got impurity in them, we pick up that impurity in ourselves. We just, like, we pick up mud as we're walking along the street. So what we've got to do is, we've got to avoid those things that will cause defilement in our life. We're to think on the things that will encourage us to holiness. I do things. Janice was here, and David is here, and he'll tell you this is true. You know, just recently we were talking about what type of DVDs we watch, and if it's unsuitable for David, it's unsuitable for us. So we just this week literally thought, we've literally just looked through all our videos and DVDs and just thrown out everything that we feel has got something dubious in it. Didn't lead us very much, actually, to be quite honest. It didn't. Because I was challenged about this issue. If you take it in, you can say, oh, it's 99% okay, but it's just 1% dubious. The 99% okay is okay, but the 1% dubious, you know what it does? It spoils it all. It spoils it all. Because, you know, once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. Can you? Once you've heard something, you can't unhear it. It's in. And so we've got to keep our mind on things that are pure. What's the other things that loves her? What's the other things that are pleasing? And what's the other things that are agreeable? We live in an ugly world, don't we? An ugly world that takes its delight in things like violence and immorality, which takes its delight in, you know, some of the biggest successes in movies these days are fall into two categories. One is horror, and one is disaster. If you want to make a success, make a horror movie. If you want to make a success, make a disaster movie. And the Lord says, look, you shouldn't be thinking on ugly things, you should be thinking on pleasant things, pleasing things. Here's the next one. What the other things are of good report? In other words, well spoken of. Things that have a good reputation. Things that don't have bad parts in them, or bad things in them. Things that can only be well spoken of. Think about these things. What the other things, if there be any, virtue? That means, if there's anything excellent morally in them, then he says, if there be any praise, praise carries the idea of only good content, praiseworthy, something that you could only say something good about. If there's any virtue, if you could say anything bad about it, well, that don't have anything to do with it. So if we add all those things up, folks, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think of these things. So what things are these? Steve Nicholson, I've got to know over the last couple of years, is a great guy. He's got 7 children. And one of his kids, a girl, and our teenage years got particularly obstructive about why dad didn't take them to the movies. And said, why dad, do we not go to the movies? Why do we not go to the movies? And Jake said, okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's go down to the movie house and ask them when they're going to put on something that's in accordance with Philippians 4:8. So they went down to the movie house, and James, the type of guy that lives there, and he went in and he said, okay, we're looking for a movie that you'll be showing, and we want it to be like this. We want it to be true, honest, righteous, pure, lovely, of good report. We want it to have virtue, and we want it to have praise. When are you showing a movie like that? And the lady said, we don't show movies like that. And the girl got the point. What we take into our mind, folks, is either harmful or it's helpful. In Christian life, there's no neutrality. It either helps us or it hinders us. So if we're to think of these things, where does that point us to? Where does that point us to? I think it points us to two places. Two places where we'll get material to think of. What is this? The first is this. If we want a sound mind, you know where we have to put our mind? We have to put it in the book, don't we? We have to put it in the book, the Bible. Because that's where we'll get every characteristic that we've read about, you'll find in the Word of God. But I think it's more than that, folks. I really think it's more than that. I think there's not only a book that contains these things. I think the point is there's a person that contains these things. Search the scriptures, the Lord Jesus said, for these are things that, these are they that testify of me. So, if we want to have a healthy mind, if we want to have a sound mind, if we want our mind to be right so that our life will be right, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, out of the heart of man proceed these things. If we want to have a healthy and a sound mind, we need to think upon the Lord and think upon the scriptures. I just want to be a little bit practical here. Paul talks in 1 Timothy 4 about the scriptures and he says, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto. In other words, what you're occupying your mind on will be seen in your life. Other people will see it in their life. And Paul says in verse number 9, he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, I'm telling you to do what I'm doing. You know that I do these things. I'm not just setting myself up as a virtue. I'm setting myself up as somebody who's telling you out of experience, this is what you need to do. Because if we're not setting our mind on the scriptures, and we're not setting our mind on the script on the Lord, if we are setting our mind on worldly things, this is really what we're like. We're just wandering around the rubbish hut somewhere, looking for something else. Look at that poor kid in India, trying to survive and what they pick up on the rubbish pit. Well, you can imagine what a kid like that would be like, physically, mentally, spiritually, scrabbling around in the rubbish. It's no life at all, is it? And as Christians, if we're feeding our mind on the things of the world, that's really just what we're doing. And remember that? Rubbish in, rubbish out. So the question is this. How's your mind? What are you feeding your mind on this week? When we went away a few years ago with Christine and her children, we took them away up to Loch Fyne in Scotland. We were there for 4 days and I gave the kids all £1 if they could learn Philippians 4:8. But it wasn't because I wanted to give them some pocket money, because I wanted them to know the principle. And folks, we need to govern our lives by this principle. If we are having a healthy mind before the Lord, we will live a healthy Christian life, won't we? We will. I don't think we place enough emphasis or importance on guarding our mind. I really don't think we do. We allow so much rubbish into our mind. Now, we live in a world that forces rubbish at us all the time, doesn't it? You know, there's just things we can't avoid. There's just rubbish we can't avoid seeing and hearing and being with. Like, if you travel in the metro, you can't avoid seeing the adverts, they're just there. If you go to a petrol station to get petrol, you can't avoid seeing the newspapers that they spread out in front of you. If you listen to the radio at all, you know, you just can't avoid some of the news items and some of the other things they talk about. So there's rubbish that the world pushes at us all the time. That's one thing. What I'm talking about is our responsibility. When we are feeding our mind, what are we feeding our mind with? And if we want to be spiritually healthy, We've got to have a spiritually healthy diet for our mind. And Paul says this: these things will help you not only to be good practically, but to enjoy the personal presence of the Lord. He says this: and the God of peace will be with you. So may the Lord help us all to keep our mind, to keep free from disputes and have the same mind, to keep free from anxieties and have a settled mind. And may the Lord help us to keep a sound mind and a healthy diet for our life as a Christian. We shall. Thank you.